Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening.
The quote was, you know, and I found that it was really, are we going to do that? We're going to try and do that that clip where something important is going to just get interrupted with that noise.
Well, if you say it.
They don't know what we're talking about. They're not even listening.
Right. There aren't them.
This is the audio version of a hot dog down a hallway. Hello.
Right, because hot dogs dog.
Gator plate.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay. That was a lot more jarring in
person, right? Thing. You remember talking about it, and you didn't think it was going to be like that. And the worst part is he's got access to that button whenever he wants.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
So don't use it sparingly.
That is correct. We need to fill some space.
Who's Phil? Is it Phil?
It is Phil.
It is Phil. It's Phil, yes. Fill that space.
Playoff hockey has
We're a show.
Yeah, right.
Minnesota Twins.
You want to start at the beginning?
Minnesota Twins.
They're a team.
You
want to start at the beginning? We are a show.
We'll start at the beginning.
Dan was born.
What beginning? The beginning of this show? We're going back to episode one.
It was a Wednesday.
It was cold and brisk. Talking about brittle.
And Russian.
And Russian. It was Russian. We're not Russians. Although some Russians are scoring goals. Welcome to Do It For Zamboni.
There's something about a Zamboni.
Yeah, we are what we're named after. Clearly due for a nice sharpening, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So we're watching playoff hockey. NHL playoff hockey. By the way, the last time we spoke and I was down in Saginaw. I'm still down in Saginaw in Michigan, state that I still live in. So even though I leave Saginaw, I don't end up outside of Michigan.
Right.
Although there is that bridge. So, name it two things. Shit. Just.
Do you have a bombing sound?
Yeah, how do you bomb?
Or like that's not funny.
Just get some button that just goes, get off the stage, asshole.
Yeah.
Dead air. It's just the sound of someone eating crackers. That's
right. Evan, get the crackers out.
Do for a cracking. So there's a couple of interesting matchups. It's a good thing to see the Seattle Kraken in it. You'd think the NHL would be happy about that. And obviously Vegas, because like we were saying, that's their test tube babies. They're child soldier stars. Game two of Seattle, Colorado is tonight. So that's, if you want to do the math, go backwards on the calendar, retroactively see where we are. They're in Vegas. Yeah. The Vegas and Winnipeg are paying. Winnipeg ought to be paying. Technically. It looks hot in Vegas right now is the point. That was the point I was making.
That was the whole point. Sweet.
So the horn went just now in the Ranger and Devils game at the end of the second. And I think Dougie Hamilton wound up and shot the puck after the horn from beyond center ice. And I don't think anyone did anything about it, but there was a little bit of a pause
the second period.
So
there's one more to get retribution.
Yeah. Well, what's nice is, this is a good matchup, I think. The Devils and the Rangers, because of that Tri-City, greater Tri-City area, whatever the hell they call that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You got Splitsville when it comes to fandom. And you know, the Rangers, I mean, there's not much else you can do to pick up players at or before the deadline to bolster your team.
They pulled out all the stops for sure.
Yeah. So they're due for something, whether they just, can you stick with this team before whatever kind of cap crunches start to hit you and you got to do something about that? Can you stick with this team to the point where you gain the experience needed in the playoffs? Like, let's say they don't go all the way this year, which logically they'd come just about as close as you could, because last year they came real damn close to getting to the final, and now they're better and they have that same experience. I wouldn't be totally adverse to New York pulling it out. I think original six team things are cool.
I think the main thing that they have to look at is, or, you know, be wary of, is goaltending injuries. Because if their goalies can't stay healthy, then that's, you know, part of,
well, yeah,
I'd say it's a huge part of why they got to where they did last year. So
Shesterkin.
Yeah. If he goes down at all in this playoffs, or, you know, kind of, I don't think he's going to pit her off, but you never know.
Bitterov, the cousin. No, that's Russian shit. So Tarasenko scored a goal tonight. He's an addition. Obviously, that's old news, old hat. But anyway, they're good to go, the Rangers. The Devils, this is the first time in their rebuild being that playoff team with their new identity. You know, they made the playoffs. Luke Hughes joined late from college after falling in the Frozen Four, and he's something to watch.
They got was it Timo Meier, as we've said before.
Timo Meier, both two of the Hughes brothers.
Yeah. So they're in a pretty good spot right now, but obviously,
what's his name? Miles Wood. Miles Wood is a good hard grinder. Yeah, and there's just a good rivalry in that area. So I like that type of thing. It's not one that is so dire, kind of like Tampa and the Lightning. Like, some players don't like the way the system is with the wild card playoffs and the seeding, because two teams like that are going to meet in the first round. You're not really being rewarded. If, you know, like we were saying this before, when our team, like anyone out there, if you're rooting for a team that doesn't make the playoffs yet and you finally do it and you work all that, those years, you work so hard and you wait and you're patient and you watch it slowly gather steam. And then you're getting to the point where, okay, we earned our way into, you know, the second spot in your division. Do you think are you rewarded at all by playing the team that finished a point behind you in the standings in the first round?
I guess it's a question of, do you think they should get rewarded and why? Because it's just, I mean, I get why, like you said, they've worked so hard and they've gotten good enough to get to that point, but it's just like how the lottery works in the draft, where it doesn't really matter, you know, if you're the worst team in the league. We're not going to guarantee that you get the top pick.
But you're not going to get like royally fucked, where if you finish so poorly and you're in desperate need of a really good player, that there's a good chance that some other team that doesn't deserve it is going to do better than you. I mean, that's what happens in the lottery when you're a Wings fan. Right?
Yeah.
You deserve it and you don't get it. But I don't know. You're right. I do understand what some players why they don't like it. Because it's anything. Oh. It's home ice advantage.
Ooh.
There's, you know,
sorry, there's a good fight going on in this Toronto
Tampa
game right now.
Turn it over.
Fuck, that's a good fight.
Turn it over. No, you did it wrong.
Ooh. Sorry. When you listen to this, like he said, go back and, or, you know, don't, I don't care. We'll post it on Instagram. Damn it. How about that?
Or we won't. I'll and find someone this else fight, will. Find someone who's good, got rights to it.
But, you know,
who's go 84 watch for this Tampa? Series. He looks Russian as hell.
I couldn't read his name.
That's a or brutal that, haircut.
Janot. Is that Tanner Janot? No.
Janot. John Cooper doesn't look impressed.
No.
Don't act like you're not impressed. Anyway, this is what you get right now. Okay, Tampa Bay and Toronto are playing yet again in the first round. So one of these juggernauts is going to be knocked out in the first round, just the way it is. So if you don't have any skin in this game and you're just a spectator, it's nice to have good hockey right off the bat. But, you know, if these teams were to meet, that is Janot, Eric. If these teams were to meet,
yes, it is.
Two series down the road, I mean, they're going to be that much more fine-tuned. Yeah. So you're going to get a better matchup.
Better hockey, right. For sure.
Precisely.
It would be way better hockey. It would be more fluent and not, probably not as chippy.
Yeah, so, and, I don't know. They said that.
I think that the playoffs this year so far, I mean, we're only two games in, and there has been some serious brutality out there among lots of teams, especially the Wild and the Stars.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's
been a pretty rough one so far.
Have you heard any of that, Evan? Walk us through it, Eric.
Well, the first, I guess.
I'll help you with some cliff notes, okay? Ryan Suter used to play for
I remember. Well, I was going to go with the first one. Joe Pavelski.
No, start at the beginning.
Got absolutely trucked by CNN? Matt Dumba. Shut up. Joe Pavelski got just dominated by, it was Matt Dumba.
With all that open ice hit.
He
had his
head down. He was kind of, it was behind the net. So I think Pavelski made a pass and he kind of admired it a little bit. Wasn't really paying attention. I will say Dumba kind of left his feet a little bit, but
maybe
it was within, they said it was within the window of time.
You agree though that was a clean hit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was a gorgeous hit.
What happened after the hit, because he definitely flattened him, but his head bounced off the ice.
Yeah, much like a couple of years ago.
I was going to say Filip Hronek.
Well, it's true too. But when remember a couple of years ago in the deciding game of their series, the Knights and the Sharks were playing. And this is what implemented the being able to review a penalty thing, because the refs somehow all missed it right off the faceoff. And I forget how Pavelski went down, but it wasn't because somebody hit him illegally or tripped him or anything. Somehow he got so bashed up in the noggin that he was bleeding out of his fucking helmet.
Yeah.
And what do? They turn around and they give San Jose a 5-minute major to go with. No,
and they scored like three goals.
They went crazy. They went ahead. Yeah. That game was nuts. They were down like 3-1, and didn't they come back, scored three goals? And then after that shit, Vegas tied it up with their goalie pulled, and then it went to OT. But yeah, so this that all goes back to Pavelski's shit. So that was, I don't know, it's a head injury, whatever, but the Dumba hit was certainly
a brutal hit.
Clean.
Yeah. Brutal. I'm watching it on YouTube right now.
The hit is technically clean, but it is the fact that he was unsuspecting, so he couldn't brace himself.
Yep.
So he smacked his head on the ice.
Head bouncing off the ice is
that's never good.
Not good.
But the second offense was Ryan Suter had given, which apparently nobody likes Ryan Suter.
That's right.
I don't. Yeah. You don't. Whatever. So. he gave Kaprizov and I think one other dude probably a good 2 or 3 cross checks to the ribs throughout the game.
Yeah, anytime he had the opportunity.
Just doing the dirty guy's work, you know, whatever.
We all appreciate that. If you can get away with that.
Brad Marchand type of play.
That's Chelios shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Chelios,
Patrick Kane, seven cross checks.
Exactly.
When it like his rookie season,
dude, it's so people out there, both of you, if, unless one of you is tired tonight. So, hey, guy, Hey, fan. I guess fan might be a stretch. Hey, listener.
It's like they just passively
really difficult to it's really difficult to find, if not impossible, because I've not found it yet. But there, there might be a video out there sometime or somewheres. When Patrick Kane was a rookie and he first played the Red Wings, Chris Chelios made it a point to initiate him into the league. And when they were in the corner, like the midway behind the net, midway to the corner, right? That makes sense. And he's just walloping Kane in like the bicep area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tricep, bicep area in the arm. He cross checks him a good seven, eight times. Yeah. And I think, I think he got a double minor because it was like, dude, I can't call you for one cross check here.
Well, I think he didn't see it right at first because I think Kane had like fallen over a little bit. So he was kind of like scrunched up against the boards.
Yeah.
So yeah, Chelly's just hitting him. And I don't think they put an arm up until the fourth one.
Right, but I mean,
and then he still did enough after that to get a double minor.
Yeah. So I think, you know, his point being is like, great. I'm Chris Chelios.
You're nobody.
You're this kid who's 18. There's all this hype behind you. You're also an American like me.
Welcome to the NHL.
Yeah, there's a lot of like good appreciative things. Hey, American buddy, you know, you're young and
that's my puck, baby. Don't you ever touch my puck.
is that Chelios again? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So he just he did not fucking care. And there is a total need for that. And I'd say Ryan Suter followed suit with that shit. So anytime that he saw Kaprizov, I mean, I gotta say, dude, it's like you're not necessarily, I don't think he disrespects him to the point where he would think that a cross check would take him out of the game. But if you can bruise him up a little bit, or it's just like, hey, you're not just gonna walk past me willy fucking nilly. You know, this is what I'm gonna do. But it's also
you're not just gonna skate around me in my area.
So he gave him some nice lumber to the ribs a couple times.
Yeah.
And retribution in game two. The main thing
they were mad about was that they he was kind of like limping back to the bench, but obviously game two he was fine.
Yeah. But I got to say, for what it was worth, the Wild did not come with retribution in game two. They kind of got smoked in that game. They lost.
Yeah.
And no one took care of Ryan Suter the way some of the Minnesota beat writers were writing, like, oh, Ryan Suter should just take the night off because he's definitely going to get fucking killed by Ryan Reeves or Matt Dumber or whoever. Didn't
even blink at him.
And that didn't happen. You know, sure, like, we would want to see that. I want to see something. But there was also, they dug into the history of Ryan Suter when he was on his, you know, that superstar contract that he and Zach Parise signed, those like twin contracts. 2010, 2011, something like that. Don't quote us on anything. But big deals with 13 year deals.
Yeah, probably. They were
12 separate 13 year deals. There you go. Which have recently been bought out, and that's what leaves Ryan Suter playing for not the Wild. He's playing for the Cowboys. Yeah, whatever they're called. The Dallas Cowboys, right.
Point is, apparently none of his teammates liked
him. Right, he was a bit of an asshole. He'd bitch about anything and everything. He would sit on a bench and talk shit about his own teammates. I can't believe this guy makes this much money. Why is he getting power play time? Why aren't I on the power play and more of this, that? It's just like gripingly annoying and toxic. It's a black hole when somebody is like that, when they're just constantly bitching about nothing is good and everything's why not me? And they insert themselves into the situation. It's like, dude, you are getting paid buku dollars to be here.
Yeah, you know, you're locked in.
You're locked in. What do you care what someone else is making? I don't know. It's fucked up. It was just like, you know, because we have ties, not ties, but Eric, his uncle,
Gary Suter,
coached you a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
He was my assistant coach in high school, which is pretty cool.
That is very cool.
He was a great dude. Gary used to show up to practice with his duck waders on.
Yeah.
Just got out of the canoe this morning and came to practice it. Didn't have time to change.
Yeah.
And it was just cool. But
impressive guys, the suitors, you know.
Yeah, dude.
Gary was the type of dude that, and sure, it was, you know, in the kind of the Gretzky, the late 80s, but Gary Suter hit the 80-point mark as a defenseman. I mean, that's the real deal, dude.
He's a good fucking defenseman. Yeah. He played for 17 years. Yeah. So.
And he's a fishing guide, you know, so he's got that Midwest, that North Midwest blood in him. His brother, his late great brother,
Bob.
He famously won, he was a defenseman on the gold medal winning U.S. Olympic team of Herb Brooks' 1980s Lake Placid fame.
Miracle on ice.
Big part of that on D. I actually went to his camp that was specifically for defensemen. It was a summer hockey camp in Madison, I believe. Oh, yeah, good tilt with Corey Perry.
Oh, shit, I missed it.
And then he goes and scores a goal. Well, who's this dude? Bull? No, Hull. 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 Har. Hull. Hull.
Dan's broken.
Oh, I love it. It's old style Corey Perry.
Rob Maroon.
He's sitting in the box and he's barking orders at people.
I think you're ahead of me by like a minute. So
a whole minute. Well, I'm actually on like TV, like cable TV.
Yeah, I'm not
because of the old.
Premium.
Anyway, Bob Suter was Gary's brother, but Bob Suter is Ryan's dad. Ryan is who we're talking about. And hey, I don't know Ryan. We know you guys know Jake. That's his brother, right? No, that's Gary's kid. Jake's Gary's kid.
Yeah, that's Gary's.
All good. All good people. Gotta love the Suters. So we weren't there. We can't say anything about whether the shit is true. But if it is true, then that's what they're going off of as
right.
The Wild, that they're happy to be rid of him and the challenges that they're playing against them. But I would say thus far, the challenge is not something that they're winning, you know? I mean,
they weren't ready for, apparently.
Yeah, he's the one cross-checking your star scorer and you haven't done anything about it
and go do something.
Granted, I guess Pavelski's out, but so a little tit for tat there. Right. But it makes for good... This is not good radio. Yeah. It makes for good hockey, as does happening in Tampa Bay and Toronto right now with these fights.
And I was just going to say, just like this game, I think has every game so far been 1-1?
Like nobody's up 2-0 in their series?
Yeah.
Well, this is the only... No, that's not true, is it? Carolina is up 2-0 over the Islanders. Okay. They won in overtime yesterday, and they won game one.
But that's it, right? Right.
Boston lost to the Panthers game two.
Right.
Actually got like 6-3. Handled pretty well. So, yeah, these are all these, you know, people are going to be able to read what the hell's going on. But it's nice to see the Kraken and Vegas in it. It's nice to see the tri-state shit going on. If you want some retribution, Toronto should have to go through Tampa Bay.
I'm really happy that I don't have to hear anything about Ovechkin and Crosby.
Yeah.
These playoffs.
Yeah. That's a new one, man.
Not that they're not great players, obviously, but I'm just sick of hearing them and I want new faces and new teams. And
that's right.
Just high energy people that are grinding to get in, especially young kids who've never been there and they're have no idea what to expect beforehand. I mean, obviously you do, but you can only prepare so much, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's
so they're just clawing and jabbing at each other.
It's gonna be nice when all those the teams that have been rebuilding for the last, you know, long while, 5-6+ years, the Senators, the Red Wings, the Sabres,
yeah,
you know, Sabres. Guys like that, they're gonna join Vancouver. The ranks of Vancouver. I don't know if you could say they've been rebuilding.
Well,
fucking some shit up.
I think they've been, yeah.
You know,
they've been in denial about doing exactly what they're doing.
You trade Horvat away, but then you get Hronek. Like,
right. So they're just doing it in a way that doesn't actually help them in the long run.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Should we give you some back time? It's fine.
It is bad. It's not good. It does.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah
this Toronto Tampa Bay game.
When all those teams are finally, you know, the new world order in the playoffs, it's going to be nice. And I think what signifies that going down is that the, you know, the Penguins and the Capitals are not in the picture this postseason. So you got to focus on some shit. So if you were the NHL, it's like, you know, you're Gary Bettman or the PR department, whatever the hell you want to call it. What do you want to see now that guys like that are out of the picture? Like we said, you really are excited about your expansion teams being playoff contenders already. I mean, we knew that about Vegas from the word jump, but Seattle making it in their second year is good.
Yeah, they're doing well so far, so it's exciting to see. And
dude, Maroon is like talking shit to fans from the box right now. Do what you want, I guess, but I always thought players just largely ignored the fans, unless you were like Ty Domi when he turned around, speaking of the Maple Leafs. Ty Domi famously turned around and sprayed water from a water bottle on a fan from the penalty box, and then I think the guy went nuts, and I believe that the glass like went forward, which got him in the, you know, kicking distance of Ty Domi, which is not a good place to be. Yeah. So now this fan is like, I think to hear he's Domi
in the box with Domi.
Yes. And then I've seen Rob Ray on the Sabres famously landed about 30 back of the head bare knuckle punches while like almost sitting down in the bench on a guy who like jumped over the glass and ran onto the ice, ran over to the bench, caused some problems. Rob Wedge, I mean, look it up, dude. He fucking nailed this dude for a good half of a minute. And then, you know, you've got your famous ones, Mike Milbury hitting the dude with the shoe in the stands and all that. But yeah, Maroon doing it right now is pretty much. It also didn't help that Toronto just added another one. It's 7-2 Toronto. See, now.
Yeah, you're like a minute ahead of me.
Yeah. Well,
but not that I give a shit because fuck Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, Hattie by whoever's getting these hats.
Oh, that's who it is.
Who is it? Tavares? It don't matter.
O'Reilly.
None of these matters.
Oh, it is Tavares. Never mind.
Yeah. They should be good. Like, they should be good in the playoffs. Look at this fucking power play unit, dude. Ryan O'Reilly. They'd be captains on basically any team they were on. You got John Tavares, Ryan O'Reilly,
Mitch Marner,
Matthews. Austin Matthews, and Nylander. I don't even think they have a defenseman on the ice.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're running all five forwards right now. And if they weren't to do that,
they'd
have Morgan Riley out there, who's very, very capable.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, it's like...
They should be a dominant team.
How deep are you, though? When those guys aren't showing up, like... Yeah, you're gonna need that secondary score. Although I will say,
and that's what watching the Oilers, they look a little bit better as far as depth. I think they added like one line.
Yeah.
So now they have three.
Yeah. You've done some good stuff,
which is pretty good, considering that McDavid and Draisaitl will make up for that fourth. But how long can you double shift them? Consistently. Yeah,
and Draisaitl, holy shit, is he something else right now?
Oh, I know.
Last year,
he's a playoff.
Last year, he was like playing on one leg.
Yeah, and he still like beat a bunch of records. Yeah. Or
and
something.
Now he's doing. Well, they had Edmonton had Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl all hit 100 points this year, which hasn't happened in 30 years. Yeah. You know, which I think the last time it happened in the NHL. Don't quote. I don't know. It was either involving Lemieux on the Penguins or fucking Gretzky on the Oilers.
Right.
With like Curry and Messier and whomever else. But but anyway, back to the what would you want to see as the NHL? Like we said, the expansion teams, you want to do well, but you don't have Crosby and you don't have Ovechkin. So it's like, okay, you have a record year for Boston. The original six team goes on a tear, a record tear. Yeah. They beat the shared record of wins in a regular season, which was 62. Which what the 96 Red Wings
And then the 2019 Tampa,
right? And boom,
Boston wins 65, 64,
63,
60. It was at least
62, 61, 60.
It has 59, to be 64,
57, something like that.
Well, yeah, I all know.
We got a guy who's got the he's a number guy, he's got coffee,
right?
He's up late. Evan Marlowe gonna tell you how many wins
65.
Holy oh, it was fuck, 65. Man.
Yeah, dude.
82 games, they yeah, win like, 65 of them.
They only lost 12 in regulation. It's absolutely bananas.
There is no reason the NHL shouldn't be commercially pushing that. You can't show that you care who wins whatever.
Right. Like, we get that nobody likes Boston, but
yeah,
who cares? Like, yeah.
No, literally no one likes Boston except Bostonians.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and you, that is codified by their announcing team.
Yeah.
Jack Edwards is the most insufferable little fucking wrinkled, sinewy twink of a homer you've ever heard. Go.
I disagree. I think the Capitals dude is way worse.
No, there's no one worse.
Alex Ovechkin scores.
Nothing to do. That's not what he sounds like, by the way. He's the guy who he has the same thing whenever anyone scores. He goes, scores.
Oh, yeah. Alex Ovechkin. Yeah,
or scores. Alex Ovechkin. It's the same thing every fucking time. You know, it's not about what the shot was. I don't know. There's some people who are just better than others at this craft. Yeah. But I urge the one dude to YouTube Jack Edwards from the Boston Bruins and listen to the way he talks while he's calling games. I mean, if someone gets horrifically injured, he will accuse that team, not just the player, the entire team, of trying to draw cheap, as he'll put it, penalties from the refs. Even one time, right, there was a dude on the fucking ice, I think from Philly or something, and you hear Jack Edwards, he goes, "Get up!" He yells, "Get up!" at the injured player. You know, like the Bruins can do no wrong. I mean, he seriously will.
He's certainly the most biased.
Yeah, dude. There'll be like a fight that he's calling. And the Boston dude's kind of getting ripped apart and owned. And he'll tell you the opposite is happening.
Right. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. Like he just got one in on him.
It's absurd, man. Yeah, he had that whole thing with the maroon and the pizzas and all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that was him. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Exactly. So nobody likes the Bruins outside of Bruindom. But, hey, right, who cares, right? That's good for them. You need to, as the NHL. Yeah, right? As the NHL, you need to be promoting this historic season. And I think behind the scenes we talked about this. Your next poster child, obviously, is Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
An Edmonton and Boston final, I believe, is the imperative solution. absolutely. You would want if you were working at the NHL, right? That's what you want to hawk right there. Cause especially if you get to that point in the finals and Edmonton just keeps rolling. The last time there was a final that was truly, in my mind, and I'm going to be Jack Edwards bias here, but I'll never forget the headline on NHL.com is awesome. It was the 2008 final. It was the upstart Pittsburgh Penguins with the young Crosby and Malkin and Fleury and Marian Hossa. And they had won like 17 games in a row at home. Yeah. Versus the President Trophy winning, which often the President Trophy winners do not go on to win the cup, but this year it was an exception. Detroit Red Wings with Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg and Thomas Holmstrom and Nick Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski, and getting Brad Stewart at the trade deadline, and the comeback of Darren McCarty, you know, mid to three quarters of the way through the season, and
the takeover of Chris Osgood,
right. And Dominic Hasek still being, you know, what he was at a very late age. So the Wings were this monolith, and the Penguins were like a laser beam. So they really did. The headline was "Unstoppable Force Meets Immovable Object."
Oh yeah,
it's like, yes, that is so fucking cool. And it is like, that's what you call an anticipated final. Right. Something that is not one of those chintzy. I think the couple years prior to that, the finals were like over in five games.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want that. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't see how that's manipulated in any manner. But,
well, like I said, the better teams having a chance to get further in the playoffs, to get more battle hardened. And by the time they get to the end, you have a basically guaranteed 7-game, 4 games go to OT.
Yeah, so maybe there is a way to do that with the playoff format and all that shit. But when one conference is just stronger than the other, which is the case on paper this year, the East has way more points than the West finished with, right?
Yeah.
But my point is, it seems to be like that if Edmonton and Boston both make it to the final, that's the type of thing you can slate that final as, is that unstoppable force meets an immovable object. And that would be one for the ages. And nobody loses when McDavid, especially McDavid, but also obviously Leon Draisaitl and this year Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and the whole thing, when they are finally in the finals. You know,
yep.
Connor McDavid belongs late in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And as soon as they do it, you have to imagine they're going to, you know, they got the recipe. So they're going to keep doing it as much as they can.
Yeah. And well, you know,
and they're young.
What's their big problem has been goaltending, amongst other shit. In the past, it's depth and certainly goaltending.
Defense.
You know, Holland made some decent pickups this year, you know, but a lot, that's just them. A lot of other teams, they did good. When Vegas is like healthy with what they have, who's that big motherfucking Russian? Barbashev. They went out and got Barbashev. Oh, yeah. I mean, that guy's a bone crusher and he's on Vegas. Vegas has like an undersung thing that Vegas got like a bargain. They went out and got Phil Kessel. Like, Kessel's a proven playoff performer.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with having him on the fourth line or what the hell have you? So it's too early to really get a flavor of how everything's going in the playoffs. But hey, it doesn't matter. It's playoffs. Like, there's some good shit.
Yeah. And like I said before, they're going back and forth. They're, you know, they have an answer every other game for the game prior.
Yeah. Let's hope that keeps up. That and, you know, more overtime. These lopsided games, I can see there being, you know, it's going to happen. But I think like this Tampa Bay and Toronto series, this is going to end game two. It's going to be split, right? It's 7-2 right now. And Toronto has a 5-on-3. So they're whooping them at home. But do not count Tampa out. Tampa is banged up too. They lost Hedman. They lost Chernak. And
was it Hagel?
I don't know about Hagel. I had the sound off. But who's that little dude? His last name's like Ypsilanti or something. It starts with like a E-I-Y-S-S Ice Miller or some shit. But he's a little scrapper type dude. And they lost him. So when you're playing without Hedman, who's going to eat in a game like this?
27.
Yeah, yeah, definitely north of 25. And you don't have him? That's a problem. And Chernak, he's another one. You know?
Yeah, those are two big holes in your lineup that eat up a lot of time.
Yeah, you're down on
an important time,
and
too.
Yeah, every single type of situation in these games. So Tampa Bay, you would expect to be able to bounce back from this. And as we were alluding to earlier, Toronto outscored Tampa Bay last year in the first round and lost because that's a thing. You know, like, dude, you can win a game 7-2 as they are now. And, you know, you can win three games and outscore the shit out of your opponent and then lose that fourth game. Because all of them are tight because Andrei Vasilevskiy is that good. And he's still that good. He's not having a great game right now. And he didn't finish very well in the down the last little stretch of the regular season. But it's like, dude, when you have all this fucking experience, like, it doesn't really matter as a goaltender.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like what Carson was saying about Mankato in the last episode. That, you know, they basically dragged their feet for 57 minutes of the game and then turned it on at the last second and boom, they won.
Because they can afford to. Because they know how
if you
to
have
do
that
it.
Experience of like, yeah, just save it. And as long as we don't go down by too many goals, we'll be fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, we've said it. We cannot root for the Maple Leafs. There's nothing better than the notion that they're just going to get ousted in the first round again. Because what do you do? That's the biggest fucking conundrum. I saw a thing today that was, you know, they've lost five straight series that went to seven games. And the statistic,
just can't close
the
it out.
Impossibility of that is like, or the possibility rather is 1 out of 28,000, the chances that someone can pull that off, that you can lose five straight, not game sevens, but elimination game series.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe it is game seven. They went the distance. See, I think it's game sevens. They went to five straight game sevens and they lost every single one of them. And the odds on that were just astronomical and they pulled it off. So it's like, if it happens again this year and you have this team, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah, what is going
on? You can't just keep getting new coaches. Okay, you've done that. What are you going to get a new GM? That's a possibility, but what's the new GM going to come in and do? Doesn't matter what GM is what GM. Is the solution blowing the team up? Getting all new personnel? Like, is that what you're going to do? Do you keep the core, though? Do we blame this whole thing on the Tavares contract being not aging well at all, you know?
Well, obviously that's a mistake, but I don't know. Like, I think that what they would need to do is just get rid of, I think they have too much talent that doesn't offer you the diversity you need. So you don't have a Braden Point and guys who can score 40 goals in the season, but also scrum it up in the corners and pulled the piano.
Mm-hmm.
They have
a lot of piano players.
Yeah, they have a lot of piano players.
But they need more piano pullers, especially down the lineup.
Yeah.
And you do need to hit that jackpot goaltender. And I say that in that it only takes one season. I mean, last year, the Avs goalie was not some proven dude who's going to be like your franchise goalie. In fact, they went out and did something about it and they got who they thought was a better goaltender, but it still worked. You know, the entire tandem still worked. So you only need it to work for the one time to win that cup, but they just can't pull it off. And it, dude, it's a whole nother thing to like figure out what are you going to do about this when it doesn't matter if you continuously have this great team and we keep losing. Dude, you don't get a flavor for like what type of shit do we run into and that's why we lose. They don't make it out of the first round.
Right.
It's different when to like make it to other rounds and lose and like, oh, we were so close. Like, no, you weren't.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, if you don't make it past the first round, you aren't close at all.
Not only that, but if you don't make it past the first round five times in a row, then you have made no progress.
Right.
You've made tons of changes and signed on new guys, like you said, new coaches, mm-hmm. and nothing works. So just burn it down.
And then you're only coming up with like funny stats, like your level of displacement. Like you lost to the team that lost to the team that lost to the team that lost in the finals. Yeah.
Right. So trying to connect yourselves with the Stanley Cup as much as you possibly can.
But I don't know.
Through the grapevine.
I saw a thing all the way up to there was a dude who was on the 1967 Stanley Cup winning Toronto Maple Leafs team. And they had actually won like four Stanley Cups in the 60s. So that was their decade before it all went completely dry. Yeah. And he didn't have any recourse when they wouldn't give him the raise he thought he deserved because his name was on the cup four times. Hey, you think you'd get a little bit of a raise. And I think it was $2,400 that he wanted. So he was like, well, they won't do it. So he, for real, like he, as he tells the story, he put a curse on the team. And people in the past, like fans had offered to pay him if he would lift the curse.
Yeah.
And then it finally actually happened this year. Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Maple Leafs, paid this guy $2,400 and 50 years interest. Damn. And the guy accepted it and he apparently lifted the curse. So that's now, as the guy says, they can go on and they can win the Stanley Cup now because he lifted it. And like,
okay, if they actually win that shit.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But
they won't. They're not going to make it out of the first round. But and there's reasons why. Okay. So that is crazy enough. But, you know, during their drought, their Stanley Cup drought since 1967, which, by the way, in 1967, let me think. Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr.
were still alive.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison were still alive.
They haven't been to a final since 67 either. So,
Yeah, it was the last time they were at the final. So they haven't vied for the cup since they last won it. Let's see. Evil Knievel was still riding his motorcycle. It's a good thing all of our listeners are old as hell, because none of this would make any sense.
I got a good one. Czechoslovakia was still a country.
Yep.
By about 30 years.
Right. There was a Yugoslavia. We were still, you know, deeply embedded in the Cold War.
Apartheid was still very much.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see.
Riggedy Row is coming.
Japan's sending PlayStations. Yeah. So gas was like 33 cents a gallon. You know, you have those little tidbits, shits like that. You know, the United States hadn't fully escalated the war in Vietnam. And the most important part is that the Maple Leafs were still good and not a laughable dumpster fire that was going to burn and permeately
slow burn
the old slow burn, you know, some nice,
it's like a tire
delicious
fire.
You are fog roasting the butt ass of that team. That is a slow burn, right?
Mrs. Robinson's and tire
since
fire.
Since then, you know, the Maple Leafs have won won. They have won. They've been successful three times in the NHL's Stanley Cup playoff. That means they have won three playoff rounds since 1967.
Hey, everyone, this is Evan. I got to make a quick edit. Sometimes Dan just keeps talking and makes things up. And this is one of those times where Dan said something that did not make sense. The Maple Leafs have actually won 19 playoff series since 1967, not three. So, yeah. Just wanted to make that an addendum.
And weren't they, like, somewhat recently, relatively?
Weren't they what?
When they won those three rounds.
Oh, no.
Because it hasn't been.
They haven't won a round since, what, 2001?
Yeah, okay. So closer to now than it is to their last cup.
Yeah, yeah, big time. So you have that little issue.
That 2004 was the last playoff series where they beat the Ottawa Senators in 7.
Okay, 2004. Excuse me. So it was 2004 the last time that they won. Dropped their opening series each of the past 6 years. Yep. We know all that. Do. Wow. It's just phenomenal. Another ridiculous stat about them is of the four major sports in North America. So what is that? That's MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL. They have been dubbed the worst bang for your buck. So it's not an exact science, but ESPN came out with a way to calculate and equate that type of thing. So with losses and quality of players who get like individual accolades, you know, top scorer in the league, different trophy winners, Norris Trophy, Calder, what have you. I don't know if it's, you know, multiply that by price of ticket divided by price of t-shirts. And, you know, sure. Add that to the cost of living in the general Toronto area. Yeah, they have been voted worst bang for your buck in, so let's just say all of sports. Yeah. So they are incredibly expensive to be a fan of. And this is the product you get. You know, granted, they won tonight. But like I said, last year, they outscored their opponent in the round that they played and they still lost. So that curse thing would be interesting. Like, holy, not even to just win this thing, but if the guy's yeah. like, yeah, I lift the curse and bam, I think they're good enough. And they actually go on to win the fucking cup.
Right. And then do it for the next 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Or at least get to the final. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, guy who has curses.
But hey, they did stuff like that with. Okay, so like, I think it's hilarious when I think it's great that teams don't stray away from that type of stuff where it's like truly anything we can do.
Yeah,
we'll do. Yeah. Brendan Shanahan officially pays this dude his backed what he thought deserved pay with all that interest. I mean, what was his name? Steve Bartman. Bartlett, Bartman, Evan?
Bartlett.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Cubs guy?
Yeah. So when that dude, when that whole awful thing happened to that poor guy, and I don't blame anybody, I blame everyone except that dude for that. Famously, the Cubs dude went out to catch a ball, and the Cubs outfielder felt that, oh, if you didn't interfere with me by reaching your hand out to try to catch what would be a souvenir ball, I would have caught it. That would have got us the out, and then we would have won this game, right? Well, it didn't work that way. And there, I think the Cubs were playing the Mariners at the time, and the Mariners ended up having like an 8-run inning, and they came back and they beat the Cubs, and then they played another game and they were ousted. Right. So everyone blamed this poor fucking dude. And they ended up, the Cubs, someone auctioned off that ball and it went for a lot of money, like an inordinate amount of money, absurd, but that's sports, right? We love sports. And they blew it up. They ritualistically like put it in a little
kid. The Cubs like, bought it and blew it up.
They blew it to smithereens so everyone could watch in like a little plastic plexiglass case. Yep, blew the fucking thing up. Poof, it's gone. And it's gone. It didn't do very well. You know, that ball did not do great. So, and you could.
I couldn't help but get Cubs vibes in this whole discussion that you've been having when you've been talking about the Leafs. All I could think of was the Cubs and the Cubs.
Yeah.
And then when the Cubs won,
they fucking did it.
Cubs fans were insufferable. And I can't tell you that the Leafs fans are going to be the same way. It's just going to be.
They already are. Look at us.
And they haven't even won.
They don't even watch hockey.
Yeah, right. And
so the Leafs are the Cubs of hockey. It's true.
It's like Leafs fans.
Or the Cubs are the Leafs of baseball.
They go to the extent of that they have bumper stickers, they have socks, they have contact lenses, whatever. They all have the logo on it, but clearly they have not been paying attention to how things have been going. Because
all the hockey writers have blindfolds on.
Because not only they've clearly not only are they not doing well, but they haven't seen any postseason wins, which. Who gives a shit if you don't win the last game of the season? Like they've accomplished everything you can accomplish. You know, we're Wings fans. We do like watch the rebuild. There's things you can be proud of at the end of each season when you, as long as you do some sort of, well, it's not acceptable to just do a little bit of improvement. You know, at some point it's not enough.
If you have growth,
right?
Like good amount,
but the Leafs, like it's a mystery. It's a straight up incalculable non-scientific mystery. Therein comes that curse thing, maybe, as to what you can do to make this team get over this damn hump. I mean, they're loaded. They're absolutely star-studded. They went out and they tanked fucking successfully on purpose and got themselves a generational talent. You know, it's nuts. What else do you do? But not only is that not going for these fans, but apparently they pay more than anybody else does for the shittier product than anyone else can possibly pay any kind of money for. So who knows?
It's what's going on. Chicago.
But the Leafs fans are already like that. So imagine if they do start winning and then, heaven forbid, win the Stanley Cup. So this all comes back to curse or no curse, no matter how like weird and cool that story would be. Fuck that shit. No Maple Leaf success ever.
When they finally do win it, though, can you imagine how many bad tattoos there are going to be out in the world with leaves that don't look like maple leaves?
There'll be tattoos with the correct spelling of leaves all over the place, right? Because people are too drunk to know anything about it. You know, it's not how it's spelled. Maple leaves me alone. Maple leaves me out of it because I'm a fan and they don't care. They just keep on.
2000. Stanley Cup champions.
I've seen some bad ones with like
56.
A couple years ago, a guy famously got a Lions Super Bowl victory tattoo because they made the playoffs? No, they didn't make the playoffs. No, they made the playoffs, right? Doesn't matter. We're not going to get into that shit.
Yeah, they did make the playoffs.
They made the playoffs, and that's why the guy got a fucking Lombardi trophy tattoo with the Lions on it in that year. Yeah, that didn't happen. So
maybe you could turn it into one of those leg lamps.
His body?
No.
It's a tattoo.
Tattoo.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Cover it up with a leg lamp.
So if I put a tattoo that didn't come to fruition on a body part, you're better off cutting that body part off and turning it into something else.
Yeah.
Fuck going around with this shame. It was like, oh, I just don't take that part of my shirt off when I go swimming. I just always keep like nothing, a white there's nothing cotton there. Sleeve just right here because there's like, yeah, because there's nothing there because I already cut it off.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is the next Gator Face. Oh, sorry, we just got interrupted by our sponsor. Oh yeah,
there they are again.
All right. That is Gator.
Sponsored by, we are sponsored by Gator Lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Officially.
As Eric said, Gator Flake is a sports flavored beverage. It's a liquid.
Right.
and I'm pretty sure you will find that is provable. So, as they say on the streets, Gator Splash. All day. I dream around, well, here, the thing's not spelled. It says Sprot. All day I dream around Sprot. No, that sounds right.
Gator Sprot.
Right. Gator Sprot. Yeah. Okay. So.
Sounds German.
That's our official song. So we're going to do just remind you again to always tip your advertiser. And
we're going to go to the White House and we're going to get all of them to do exactly what we want.
I'm going to cut that motherfucking desk in half. So, as I said, remember, Gator's place. Snap into his place. Solid as a Ford. Ding, 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 ding.